This time of the morning, as promised, we will be speaking to a church planter, a man that's passionate for the gospel, a man that believes in planting churches. And I'm taking you to Zimbabwe and Zambia this morning, especially as the year is drawing to a close. We're going to speak to missionary Eddie Hutzenberg, who's working in partnership with Harvesters Missionaries as well, the missionary training school. So you know what it's like in Zimbabwe at the moment, the economic turmoil, the recent years and the political insecurity, a nation that's struggling with food security. It was reported in 2008 that the inflation rate was a staggering 89.76%. Now, Eddie had made it his life calling to plant churches in these countries. And in 2006, he planted the first church in Zimbabwe. Eddie, good morning to you. How are you keeping on this beautiful Monday morning? Are you well?
I am fine, thank you. We are healthy, we have food, we have water, so the Lord is good. Thank you very much.
Eddie, thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Pulpit. Where did it start for you? What was your childhood years like? Where did this calling, this to be a missionary, a church planter, a love for the gospel, where did it begin in your life?
First of all, I'd like to greet all the listeners. And yes, to answer your question, I think since young, I went to church regularly, a normal South African household. We were dropped at church for Sunday school, started learning our verses and stuff. But at the age of 14, I went to a hostel, agricultural school. And then I think it was in 1972, March month, I met the Lord in a church. You know, we were in a hostel and the matriculants actually, they bullied us. So I ran away to another church, to AFM, and there I gave my life to the Lord, you know. So, yeah, since I gave my life to the Lord in 1972, lots and lots of miracles, lots and lots of mercy. Been throughout life in the missionary world is dangerous, it's challenging. Yes, and in the secular world, you try to be honest, but I can tell you in this world, you need to be as soft as a dove and as sly as a snake, because I can tell you this is, you need to walk paths that other churches fear to pray for, you know. And it seems a little bit arrogant, but it's a challenging job, quite. But yes, there's a lot of freedom in it, though, and yes, we're happy.
Well, the Lord Jesus said, I send you amongst the wolves. He never promised us that it would be easy. John 16:33, that says, this I say to you, so that in me you can have peace. In this world you will have many trials, many tribulations. How did God reveal to you your calling as a missionary, as a church planter? I mean, you got to know the Lord in 1972. If we study the Bible, Paul went to the desert. The Holy Spirit trained him up. What was the road like for you to becoming a missionary and a church planter?
I think throughout life in church, you know, even as a youngster, it's cool. You know, some of the sermons would be challenging, you know. And I remember that even if there's a request or certain Bible verses just prompt you, whom shall I send? And then inwardly I just answered, I will go regardless, you know. But then again, life kept us up, and I went to make honey. God went to make money, married, had a family, and then you need to get busy in this rat race. And that sort of kept me away from the Lord. But slowly, surely, I returned back with outreaches, and it continued throughout my life. And I think it was in 1988, I started with EE3, and I did the CAM course, and I started with street work. But I must bring you back to my army days. I think I was at the army, and I had two Bibles in my top pockets, you know, from the Gideon's, Afrikaans and English, and I read to the troops in the morning and in the evening. And then after that, in 94, that army test, 1977-78. But then in 1994, I went back to Omega Camp, and we reached out to the Bushman tribe there. But then I met an Ubambo soldier there with exactly the same train in the kit, you know. And I could reach out to this guy with a pocket knife in my pocket and a Bible in my hand, and I could lead this terrorist to the Lord while he's standing on post, and I was in my civilian clothes. And afterwards, I realized this was the Lord opening up a door. You know, this used to be my enemy. I was trained and formed by my country to go and hunt these people out. And then I started leading them to the Lord. And I think that was the turning point. And it never actually stops from there. It just then grew, you know, bigger and bigger.
Eddie, I hear a passion. I hear a desire. I hear a driving force, the Holy Spirit stirring your spirit constantly. What made you choose Zimbabwe, of all countries? I know it's formerly known as the breadbasket of Africa. Nowadays, we know what has unfolded there, the hardship, the struggle of the people. Scott Wesley Brown said, please, Lord, don't send me to Africa. And here you are literally smack bang in the middle of Africa from South Africa. What made you go to Zimbabwe and Zambia and all these places?
Yes, to make a long story short, I think the Bible describes what you will do, you know. The Bible says that everybody is called regardless. Now, it's up to you to either accept or deny, you know. And if you look at the book of Matthew's 28, the calling is there, the global calling. And that actually portion actually ends in Acts 1 verse 8, where it says, everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost of the earth. And those are all added up. It's and. So how do you divide yourself into four? That was difficult. So actually, no, Zambia is not my calling. My platform is the world. Everybody that crosses my path, I don't have a choice. I'll have to introduce them to the Lord somewhere, somehow. I actually kicked off with missionary work and outreaches. Well, I started in 1988, so it's a journey of 33 years now, on and off. But then I started planting churches in Mozambique. And I planted four churches, and that was, I started in 1998 and up until 2005. And I knew I had to go to the poorest country in Africa, the Lord called me. And then I said, Lord, then give me the country. Little did I know, I was invited by a friend, a pilot. He used to be a fighter pilot in the army. He said, listen, I have friends in Zimbabwe. Let's pay for a journey to the Kariba Lake. So I went there, and he paid for the journey and the holiday, of course, you know, because I'm a missionary. I don't pay for holidays. And then I met up with a pastor there. That was in 2006. I reached out to this pastor, and then I came back from this prepaid holiday. And then it was during 2007, the middle of the crisis, when the inflation rates was 2,000% per hour then. You know, a hamburger used to be 500,000 Zimbabwe dollars. By the time you get to the front, the price have risen to $550,000 per hamburger. And at those stages, you can only get an amount of 500,000 from the banking. You go there with bags, you know, to collect your money just to buy a hamburger. So it was utterly bad. But what I can tell you is when the money went down in 2007, the people's attitude changed. You have this master-slave relationship where people work for the richer people, you know, house workers. But at that stage, when the owner of the house had half a bread, they would call in the laborer and say, listen, I have half a bread. Half is yours, other half is mine. Tomorrow, the laborer will come with a cup of sugar, said, listen, I have a cup of sugar. Half is yours, half is mine. And as soon as the money changed back to dollars, then it was master and slave, back to master slave again. So I've learned a great deal about money, and the Bible touches on it a lot. And then I made a choice to move away from money, move away from salary, move away from income. And since I've done that, we've just exploded. You know, I'm there, I eat with the poor people. My wife sleeps with them in the kraal. Sometimes we have rats running over us at night, but we stick to that. And now we have people loving us. And then I must admit that white people are not really welcome in Zimbabwe. So under these circumstances, we are being monitored. Our cell phones are being monitored. Our emails are being. So that's why, although we have a website, we're not keen to really advertise it because of these. Because, you know, I have a lot of people's names on it. So yeah. I've got rid of the names, and it gets more political than anything else.
Well, the story of missionaries worldwide, the persecution not only worldwide, but also here on the continent of Africa. If you've just tuned in, I'm speaking to Eddie Hartzenberg, a missionary, a church planter in Zimbabwe who's working across borders on the continent of Africa. And if God is calling you this morning, I know everybody is preparing for the holiday season, but God does not go on holiday. And so if the Lord calls you this morning through this man's testimony, then stay tuned. If you want to find out how to plant a church and where to plant churches and who to speak to and what to do, this is the man to speak to. Eddie, how do I plant a church? Where do you even begin? I know you. Before we started with this conversation, you said you planted 30 churches. Somebody else said you're reinventing the wheel. Everything is there. You're partnering with some big organizations. But where do you begin? How do you plant a church? I know you've got the calling from the Lord. You've heard from the Lord. Here I am. Send me. But you can't just walk into a kraal. Or what do you do? How do you do it?
First of all, church planting starts in your heart, nowhere else. If you don't have the heart for it, don't even try. If you don't have the heart for people, don't even go. And although there's a command that says go, you need to learn to love people. You need to learn. And the major thing is the Lord didn't take me through a theoretical, theological course. He took me through a forgiveness course for 8 years. You know, every 2 months, I had to present a forgiveness lecture at singles. You know, I used to work with a lot of single people through Elohim Hanun. But the Lord taught me to forgive. And I think that's where it starts. And then one day I was praying. I said, Lord, I'd like to plant a church. How can I get by it? And it's actually a double testimony where I was standing on my knees praying, but it's a double bed. I was sharing a room, but I was alone in the room. And while I was facing the room, the Lord said, look over your shoulder. And when I looked over my shoulder, it was just another bed. But then I saw my past, how we've been missing. We as Christians have been missing. And it's not that churches are bad, but in global, we are actually missing the calling. Churches have not really brought up. You know, we've perfected the signs of running churches. We've perfected the signs of sermons. But the signs of relationship with God is dead. Throughout, even in our churches, though, you know, there are people there, but they're very, very skinny and marginalized. So it starts in your, but yes, the Lord opens the doors. If the Lord doesn't plant this church with you, you are wasting your time. You are wasting the Lord's time. You need to get on your knees because you alone, you cannot do it. And then what I did was the special thing I did. I looked for one person only, one, that really shared my heart, that wanted to walk the road with me. And I spent time with this guy 2 years. Now, just to bring you back into the black culture. First of all, if you want to speak to the children, you need to get the chief of the area on your side. It takes you 2 years to get him on your side. Okay. Then to get the men on your side, you get permission. Once the chief gives you permission, you need the men on your side. It takes you another 2 years to get the men on your side. Then it takes you another 2 years to get the woman on your side. Then it gets you another 2 years to get the children on your side. It's just horrendous. But, you know, I have a beautiful wife. The Lord blessed me with a wife that while I'm busy trying to negotiate with the chief, my wife is in the kitchen cooking food, busy with the woman and the children, just shorting this 8-year gap with 6 months, you know. But get a pastor on your side, first of all, that wants you and love. But now, remember, these guys are hungry. They are trying to get money from you, first of all. But once they see that you don't have the money, you are there for the Lord. And it takes time. Once they trust you, they then open the doors and the community starts loving you. Then they will tell you, we need a church there. And then when you start building the church, I used to build church. I would only do the foundation and wait for 2 years until they've saved up money. But then I spent about 7 years planting churches. And they needed to pay 50%. But then I realized we don't need churches. Houses have been built. Why don't we take the word back into the house? And that's why I then started writing my own material, and I was done with my own book. I was looking for Shawn Up Bibles, and on the website, I stumbled onto Harvesters Ministries, finding them. And that stage, they printed 50,000 Shawn Up Bibles, didn't know that. And then I got Bible from them, and then I went and visited him. And I told him, this is what I'm doing. He said, but listen, you are busy reinventing the wheel. I already have the material. I said, well, let me read it because I do not trust what I've seen in the past, you know. And we needed to get the word into the houses. And once the word is in the kraal, in the houses, the husbands tie onto it as well. Because usually the women take it first into the house. And then when we get the husband's hook, as soon as the husband is hooked, the whole kraal just latches on, you know. And that's how we actually plant the churches. So we are planting house churches, first of all, and then they would plant their own and build their own house. So I don't give them money for a church anymore. I only concentrate on discipleship, and then they plant the churches.
It's absolutely amazing. You have planted close onto 500 churches. One man, Eddie Hutzenberg, one man planting close onto 500 churches. What is your dream? I mean, you work day and night bringing souls to the kingdom of God. What is your dream for Africa in spite of the hardships? And how do you stay in touch and keep in touch with these churches? It must be a massive task at hand.
Yes, first of all, it's a massive paper trail. And it's not that people are necessarily, we have Africa's demonic. You know, you've got to realize that. So if you don't want to work with demons, stay out of the church, you know, because the demons are going to attack you. So you need to be ready. You need to be steady. I get the idea that we need to stand together. We need the Lord on our side. First of all, you need to spend a lot of time. Now, 24 hours is not always easy, but I pray at night and I work during the day. And the Lord have carried us through. And me alone, yes, although I'm alone, I must admit there's an army of angels around me, not because I'm good, but because it was promised to me. And I don't have to change any people's minds or their hearts. The angels and the Lord needs to do that. All I need to do, I need to prepare a playground for the Holy Spirit to play in. And then I invite the people into the playground so that the Holy Spirit can work with them. So that's my platform. I build soccer fields, you know, a playing field, and I invite people onto the playing field, and I invite the Holy Spirit there, and then they meet up with the Holy Spirit, and then the job is done.
Well, as simple as that, through the game that Africa absolutely loves, through soccer, creating and winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Eddie, time has caught up with us. I have to say bye-bye. Fortunately, we can speak about this the whole day because I still wanted to ask you, in your lifetime, 33 years of missionary work, you must have seen some mind-blowing testimonies. I will get hold of you again and we'll share once again on radio. But in closing, if any of our listeners want to be in touch with you, get involved, learn from you and say, Eddie, the Lord is calling me this morning. I want to be a missionary for the Lord. Is there an email address? Is there a contact number? I know that you said in Africa you must be careful with this, but is there a way that our listeners can contact you?
Yes, my email address, of course, is Echo Hotel Bravo Bravo Kilo, then the number 1 at gmail.com. I'll read that again. EHBBK1@gmail.com. And then my phone number, 071-7300-233.
071-7300-233. I've got that. And that email address, EHBBK?
A number 1.
Yeah, and then?
At gmail.com.
Simple as that. If you want to be in touch with Eddie Hutzenberg, EHBBK1, the number 1 at gmail.com. Or if you want to phone him, I know you're driving, you possibly can't write it down. We'll post it for you as well. 071-7311-233. That's Eddie's contact number. Eddie, thank you so much for chatting with us. We've literally got 30 seconds. Your parting thoughts with our listeners this morning, your last thoughts.
Our Lord is great. He's truthful. He never goes back on his word. He's faithful. Stick to it.
Well, Scott Wesley Brown said, please, Lord, don't send me to Africa. If you're willing to go, not just Africa, but the rest of the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, all you have to do is say, here I am, Lord. Eddie, bless you. Thank you for chatting with us.